We are doing the Ein Yaakov, and we're up to what would be called Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis in the standard editions of the Ein Yaakov, Daf Lamed Aleph in the Gemara Brachos, page 118, the very bottom of the page. And we are about to begin a discussion of Chana's prayers, and it's real Siyata Deshmaya, because this week in our Navi class at 8:30, this is exactly the chapters that we'll be learning in Sefer Shmuel. This is exactly where we're up to. So Baruch Hashem, we have Siyata Deshmaya, the assistance from above. We will learn about a woman named Chana, one of the seven women who had prophecy. And Chana prays to God, and she is barren. She is married to the prophet of the time, Elkanah. And there is another wife named Pnina. Pnina has 10 kids. Chana doesn't have any children. And Chana walks into the temple of the time. It was called Shiloh. Shiloh was the place where the Aron was. And she prays to God. She whispers her prayer, begging God for a child. And Eli sees her. Eli is the Kohen Gadol. And he sees her moving her lips. And when he sees her movements and her lips move and no sound is heard, he assumes she's drunk and she's talking to herself. And Eli asks her, till when will you be drunk? Stop drinking so much wine. And she says, no, you don't understand. I'm embittered. I've been praying. And Eli blesses her that she should receive what she asked of God. Her prayers should be accepted and she should receive a child. And that's what happened. Her prayer is accepted. So let's begin the Gemara. Amar Rav Amnuna. You have the Gemara at the bottom of the page, page 118. Rav Amnuna said, "Kama hilcheta gavarvata ikalemishma mehanekrai dechana." How many great laws can be learnt out from the verses describing Chana's prayer? A lot of the things that we are going to learn here, we know from other sources. These are things the rabbis had on tradition. But he says, Ika lemashma, we could hear from these verses. The Talmud sometimes discusses laws that the prophet Ezekiel, Adam, the prophet Ezekiel taught us. And then the Talmud says, wait a second, and before Yechezkel came along, where were those laws? So the Gemara says, no, they had those laws on tradition. This is the Gemara in Moed Katan. And Asa Yechezkel, along came Yechezkel, Asa in Aramaic means came, along came Yechezkel, v'as mecheyakra. He aligned it with a verse when he composed the book of Ezekiel. But really, even before the Navi Yechezkel, the concept existed within Judaism. And some of the Rishonim say that that is why the words of the Nevi'im, when we refer to the words of the Nevi'im in Talmud, the Gemara calls the words of the Nevi'im Divrei Kabbalah, words of tradition. Torah is Divrei Torah, Nevi'im are called Divrei Kabbalah, words of tradition. Why are they called Divrei Kabbalah? Explains the Machzor Vitri, Rav Simcha Mivitri, a disciple of Rashi. He wrote a work called Machzor Vitri, in which he discusses the customs and the prayers. And basically it's like a Shulchan Aruch of their times. So the Machzor Vitri explains they're called Divrei Kabbalah because the concepts we had from the time of Moshe. The prophets did not teach us any new concepts in Halacha or anywhere else. What they did was they gave a source. They gave a text that indicates a concept that hitherto was based on tradition. So that's why we call them Divrei Kabbalah, words of tradition. Even though it's the written Torah, the Nevi'im, but the concepts that are taught in the prophets are concepts that until then were tradition among the Jewish people, and they aligned them with Sukkim. And so too here, the book of Shmuel tells us the story of Chana, and how many halachas ika lemashma we could hear from these verses. But these aren't new laws. These are laws, these are concepts that existed earlier. But from these verses we could hear these laws. From the way that the Navi describes the story of Chana, from that description we could derive many laws, and some are quoted here in the Gemara. There are more laws that are quoted in the Yalkut Shimoni. We'll mention them in a few minutes. The verse says, V'chana hi medaberet al liba. When it describes Hannah's prayer, so it describes she was talking on her heart. Mikan lamitpalel tzarich sheichaven et libo. Her heart was focused. From here we derive that when you pray, you have to focus your heart. Now that doesn't just mean that when you pray, you should have in mind what you say. That means that before we enter prayer, we focus our heart. You align who you're talking to. It means if you want to pray Shmon Esrei correctly, you should really stand up before Shmon Esrei and focus for a minute. Right? Who am I talking to? Yes, sir.
So is that where it derives from, where in the Shulchan Aruch it says you should rush into prayer, you should have a few minutes preparation, or at the very minimum, you know, a few seconds to gather your thoughts?
So technically that is that concept. But that concept we saw already in the Mishnah, in the beginning of this chapter. Eino medin nitpalel, ela mitoch kovid rosh. So we explained one understanding over there, and kovid rosh was this understanding. That in Hasidim Arishonim, so we quoted that in the beginning of the chapter. Here we have a verse that indicates this concept, but technically a derivation of Rav Hamnuna is weaker than a Mishnah. So the real source in Halacha would be the Mishnah. But you're right, that is the concept. That this is also a source for that concept. And the practical application in our day would be that we stand in place, we get ready for Shmona Esrei, and we prepare ourselves a few seconds beforehand. So if it's in the morning prayers, we when we get up to Micha Mocha, we should already be standing in the place we're going to stay to say Shmona Esrei. And then we say Micha Mocha, and when we get ready for prayer, if it comes to Mincha and Ma'ariv, so also we stand in the place a few seconds beforehand, and we should pause. We shouldn't just run into Hashem Society. Stand and pause a few seconds. Who am I talking to? The verse describes Hannah's prayer, and the verse says, "Rak sefateha naot." Her lips alone were moving, and then the verse says, "Vekolah lo yishameh," but her voice was not heard. So the first part of the verse that describes her lips moving, mikan, from here we see, lamitpalel, someone who prays, tzirch yechtoch bisfatav, has to move his lips. Meaning, we discussed last week that you don't have to raise your voice. That a person can pray and his voice can be so low that it isn't even audible to anyone around him, just to himself. And we said, based on Kabbalah, it's even preferable to pray that way. Here, we're saying a person might be able to, he could be a mime, right? What's it called, the pantomime? To speak without moving, to mime? To make the sounds heard and not move your lips. Tells us the Gemara, from this verse we learn that the lips should move. You know, we say, L'chatchila, every blessing should be audible to the one who's making the blessing. When we say Shema, and when we say blessings, when we say Shmona Esrei, we have to be able to hear our own blessing. So this is important. People sometimes say benching, and they say it quietly, and they can't hear themselves. That's b'di'evet. L'chatchila, you have to be able to hear yourself. People sometimes not only don't they hear themselves, but they say, I thought the bracha. I thought it. That's not good halachically. When we say, hir hur kedibur, we say, hir hur, just the thought is lav kedibur. If it's just the thought, then it's not like you've said it. You can't just think a blessing or think your Shmona Esrei. You have to at least move your lips. If you've moved your lips, but you didn't hear yourself, then we say, b'di'eved, you fulfilled your obligation. But lechatchila, the way a person is supposed to make every blessing and every and prayer and shema, a person is supposed to not only move his lips but say it so that it's audible for himself. So the verse here that describes that Chana's lips were moving, from here we can see this halacha that one's lips should move when one prays. Yes, sir.
For other than like you're praying with somebody, like you're in a kula, and someone's praying and they're so loud always.
I do one of two things.
Praying for me,
right. I either move as far away as I can to the opposite corner of the shul, or I switch shuls.
Yeah.
I sometimes have that I come to shul and I see a person who is Yehei Shmei Rabbah is so loud that I, and his Shema Yisrael so loud, I go either to their minyan or a different shul.
Right, right.
Because I'll tell you the truth, people like that usually have heard from other people that they're bothering them, and either they can't control themselves, or they don't notice it, or they're hard of hearing, or they don't realize. However, we'll judge them favorably. At the end of the day, it's highly unlikely that we're going to change them. And it's more likely that we'll end up having a fight and ruin everyone's prayer. So, no, I just stay away.
This reminds me of the same Tefillah. I remember this has nothing to do with that, but every time there was this, they would do repetition, this one man would always say amen before the blessing was done. He'd be like, almost dead, and the last word is amen.
Mm-hmm.
And like every day, and like I just wanted to tell him, he was like in his like 50s. So
yeah, there are many mistakes people make. It's
can't say amen before the blessing or something.
Right, right, right. But what can you do? I was once in a shul where the Baal Kore read Eicha, and there's a pasuk in Eicha that says, "Im yareg, if we'll be murdered, b'mikdash Hashem in God's temple, kohen v'navi, a prophet." And a Kohen, if they're murdered in God's temple, how can that be? The prophet says in Lamentations. So the Baal Kore read it, Im yareg b'mikdash, if in a temple will be murdered, Hashem Kohen v'Navi. God, a prophet, and he said, if all three will be murdered in the temple, God, a prophet, and a Kohen. And I'm sitting there, ah, what am I supposed to do? So in that case, I went to the rabbi and I asked him, you know, that's like a big misread. So he said to me, look, if it's a Baal Kore that you could talk to, so try to take him to the side so that next year he doesn't make the same mistake. But you can't always talk to him, and he gave me a list of examples that people make mistakes in their prayers. On Shabbos morning there's a common mistake that people make. Shekein chovas kol ha'itzurim. This is the obligation of all creations. Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, before you, God. There are creations before God. That's blasphemy. The way it should be read is Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu Lo'odos Halel Ulshabech. Before you, they must praise. But people pause it differently. They pause it. All of the creations before you, God. They should. That's blasphemy. Yeah, go explain to people. You tell people you should say Shema Yisrael. The letter Shin is a Shivono. It's Shema Yisrael. How many times are you in shul and people go Shema? That's wrong. It's Shema. It's just wrong. It's not that word. And there are other mistakes like that.
Wow.
Shema. It's the difference between Shema and Shema. It's not that. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
David.
Last Shabbat we had the in Shabbat. Guy dominating next to me, everybody like, doing a repetition of the Mincha Mida, and he was saying Baruch Shemal, and it was kind of getting on my nerves. So I have my spot in the Beit Midrash, and I pull my Shulchan Aruch and say, and I show him it's Baruch Shemal, or am I pronouncing that wrong? And he said, no, that's the way they do it in my old show. I said, well, you're hearing it wrong, and this is the way it's done. And he basically ignored it.
Right.
And it's like chapter 6 in the Shulchan Aruch.
What was he saying?
Baruch Shemal. It's Baruch Hu Baruch Shemal.
Well, you know what? You're so wrong. It's the sword. And some people say Baruch Shemal.
Well, that's not correct.
What? Why? Why do you think you're always the only
correct
way?
It's not my way. It's the Shulchan Aruch.
I have to know. Say Baruch Shemal. The other half do it the full monkey.
No,
I'm
okay,
about?
Thank you. Okay, let's continue. Yeah.
If you say the Shema quietly, does that have to be an audible difference between Shema and Baruch Shem Kavod, or does Baruch Shem Kavod just have to be quiet in itself?
Nope. So just has to be quiet. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Is that just in the sort, or you have to say Bahu or the Baruch Shem Kavod? You don't have to do it quiet at all. But
tell you the truth. I don't know every tradition. What I know is brought in the Ramah, and the basis of the Ramah is in the Rosh, is to say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, but That doesn't mean there isn't a different tradition. I'm not aware of one, but I would look it up before I'd argue with you, because I don't know. I would check. Just because I know one tradition and I could quote you the basis for it does not mean that there isn't an equally valid other tradition that I'm unaware of. If you're saying there's a place that has this custom, I would check it out. And you know, I'll tell you another thing. When Rav Soloveitchik's students would go to be rabbi, so he would tell them, if a shaila comes up, doesn't matter how confident you are in the answer, take out a Shulchan Aruch and look inside before you answer, which is what I would do before I'd answer you too. I would take out, and it's not enough to take out a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or something else. Let's take it out and let's see. Maybe there's a Mishnah Brura I don't remember. Maybe there's another custom I don't remember. I remember that that's what it says in the Rush and that's what it says in the Ramo, who paskins based on the Rush, that that is our custom, that we Ashkenaz and we say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. But, A, I would adhere to what Rav Soloveitchik's advice is. I would first take out a Shulchan Aruch and actually look it up and make sure I'm remembering correctly. And B, I would do a little bit more research, because if you're saying there are a group of people that do differently, maybe there is such a custom. I don't know.
Half people like this, half people like that. Is it incumbent upon you to answer at all when you hear
No, it's a custom. It's a good thing to do, but you have the Gra's opinion. It says in Ma'aseh Rav that the Gra would never say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. I don't know about never, but in Shmoneh Esrei he wouldn't, in the Chazaras HaShatz. We don't go with the Gra's opinion, but if you ask me, is it incumbent? How could I tell someone, you must do this way? Just most of the Jewish people today... It's a minog that Ashkenazim and Sephardim generally have accepted. It is a minog. I mean, and we do adhere to minogim.
Clear cut, Allah said you must reply when you hear Hashem's name, right?
There is a pasuk which this minog is based on. The pasuk says in Hazinu, Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out in God's name, Avu Godel Elokeinu, you, the ones who hear God's name, will give greatness to His name. In the temple where God's name was pronounced in its proper way, we don't have a tradition as to how the tetragrammaton is supposed to be pronounced. But in the temple where they knew how to pronounce it that way, so then there was a specific blessing that was said. Everyone used to bow and say, Baruch Shem Kod Nachto L'Olam Ve'ed when they heard it. We no longer have that. So we have a mak, so to speak. It's not really mak. It's just a minhag that's modeled after what they did in the temple. So that when we say Baruch Ata Hashem, when what we reply Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo is a fulfillment of this verse, but it's a minhag, it's not obligatory. This minhag doesn't even it doesn't appear as Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in the Talmud. What appears in the Talmud is what they did in the temple, where they'd hear the tetragrammaton. We don't say the tetragrammaton. We don't know how to say the name that's spelled Yud and then a Hey and then a Vav and then we conclude with a Hey. We don't know how to pronounce that name. So we don't have that fulfillment of that law which was in the temple. We do have a minhag, which is a pretty, it's a minhag that's almost a millennium old, but and this minhag is spread throughout, as far as I know, all of Israel, and that's why I think we do have to fulfill this minhag. But at the same time, if a guy is in shul and he's having a hard time following, or for whatever reason it's difficult for him to say it, so he doesn't have to be too nervous, because at the end of the day, there is the opinion of the Gra, and it's not like it's the end of the world. And at any rate, it's more important to be focused on the tefillah than to worry about that at this stage of the game. Bezrat Hashem.
I'm not worried.
Okay.
It's a question. Can we say that the Zechalik from temple service? Because, that's Kurban, right? I was having a class neighbor when they were talking about bowing on temple. And we didn't bow completely when we did that, but we can say it's a chalit from temple service.
What relevance does it make if we say it is or isn't? What?
It's a chalit. It's a chalit as we say Baruch Shem Kavam, as we say Baruch Shem Kavam, and when we hear Shem, can we say that's a chalit from the...
It's like a zecher, yeah. It's part of, yeah. It's like, yeah.
And I think, you can correct Bala, yeah.
I would leave it for other people. Even I, and I'm Bal Kore, and I've learned a little bit the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. I don't correct. I rarely will I correct. Almost never. But there are enough other people around to correct.
Yeah.
And,
if the Bal Kore makes a mistake, they'll always correct him. And here and Nevi Shor.
Usually it's one of two situations. Either the people care that the Kriya be correct, and then there are so many people pouncing on him that by my saying something I'm just going to hurt his feelings. There's no legitimacy halachically. or they don't care, in which case he's probably not going to listen to me, and he won't understand where I'm coming from. It's very rare that there's a situation where I'm there in shul, and my correction makes a difference. I'm saying it's either one of two scenarios. That's what I've seen in shuls. Some shuls, no one cares, and whatever you say, no one's going to listen to you, and they don't care, let them keep going. And other shuls where they do care, so other people are correcting him. So it's rare that there's a situation where there's really legitimacy that I should say anything. Don't forget, if two other people corrected him, and I correct him, so I'm not serving the Kriya, I'm just serving Tirda's feelings. So why would that be permitted? Yeah, David.
So when we get called to the Torah, saying the blessing of the Torah, do we have to wait after the first three words to allow people to say Rabbu Rav Shema?
Do you have to?
Yesterday for me, I got an Aliyah Minta, and the first, before Torah reading, I said it without breaks. And then afterward, because of everybody sort of bullied me into it, I made the pause. But it didn't seem right that I was making a pause in my bracha.
It's not bad to pause. If you have a crowd where everyone's saying Bahuvul Shema, so okay, so give them time to say Bahuvul Shema.
Yeah?
Yeah, why not? I mean,
it's not like a.
No, I wouldn't worry about
it.
Right?
But it's like.
Yeah, when I'm at the crowd that they're all saying Bahuvul Shema, so I pause. What can you do? Yeah, but guys, we're off on a huge tangent here. This isn't even on topic.
I know.
Okay. But everyone's interested. Okay.
So,
Torah.
Two questions. When you say, I got an Aliyah too, so you say, Baruch, then the Holy Sheet, then the whole Kriya says, Baruch Sheikh, Baruch Obed.
You say, Baruch Hashem Amborach.
Yeah, and then they say,
Baruch Hashem Amborach Lalam Ved.
And then you repeat that line?
Yes, you repeat that line.
Out loud for everyone to hear.
Correct.
Okay, that's the first question. Next question is,
You wait till they finish saying Baruch Shem Rach, and then you say Baruch Shem Amrach Lalamed.
That's one question. And two, when you do the repetition in Amidah, right? If you're not done, when it comes to that part Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh, you're not supposed to say that, right? You're supposed to be quiet. Is that correct?
Provided you didn't reach Elokai Nitzol Shoni Mira. Correct.
Right,
you stand in silence.
Right. And then, because I know some people do that.
The only way you could do that is, let's say you came late to shul, and you're so late that when you start Shemona Esrei, the Chazan's starting his, so then you say word by word with him, including the Kedusha. You say
really?
With him. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So now you know. Okay, yeah.
If you get up to the last paragraph,
right?
Are you supposed to step forward and say Kedusha without saying the last paragraph?
No, don't step forward. Stay in your place. Say Yul Ratzonim Reifi VeYon Libi LeFanecha Hashem Tziri VeGualdi, and answer Kedusha. Say the Yul Ratzon. We say at the end of Shmona Esrei Yul Ratzon. So wherever you are in Elokai Nitzol Shoni Meira, pause by a period and say Yul Ratzon, and then answer the thing.
You say it twice in your end of Shmona Esrei.
Yeah.
The first time, you're good to just say.
Yeah. Now one more point. If we're already on this point. If you're going to answer Kedusha with the Chazan, so then pause till the Chazan finishes the blessing Baruch Ta Hashem Akel HaKadosh and answer Amen to that. Because that Amen, the Jerusalem Talmud says, and it's quoted in Halacha, is as important as the whole prayer. For whatever reason, that Amen is critical. There are two Amens which are critical, it says in the Jerusalem Talmud. The Amen after Baruch Ata Hashem Akel HaKadosh, just after Kedusha, the conclusion of that blessing, and Shomea Tefillah. Those two amens, it says, are very, very important. So if you've already paused your Elokai Netzor, if you're at the end of Shmon Esrei, and you paused the answer, so answer the amen too.
Wait, I don't understand. If you didn't finish the Shmon Esrei,
but you reached the very end. But you've reached the very end. Provided you reached Elokai Netzor.
So
it depends where. If you finish the last blessing, you're up to the last paragraph that's after the last blessing. Elokai Netzor, the Shoni Meira. So over there, we said you could pause to answer Kedusha. Yes? Wait. Before we're continuing on this tangent, everyone here wants to continue on this tangent?
No, I want to continue with this.
Sorry, Uda. How many people want to continue with the tangent?
No.
How many people want to continue with Ein Yaakov? And how many people with the tangent? So Uda, just say the question. If it's really fast, I'll answer it.
If you have to be
I'll try to answer it. I don't know if I'll know. Yeah.
Yeah, me that.
If you what?
If you're daydreaming during the Amida,
yeah.
You don't say the Amida before Kedusha, are you still able to say Kedusha?
Let's start again. A person is daydreaming and he's in his own world. But he finished Shmoneh Esrei.
Yeah, he finished. He's listening to the repetition. But for some reason, he could not say Amen.
Sure, he could say Kedusha. It has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
And we said the Amen after Kedusha is important, not before.
Oh, after.
The Amen after Baruch Hashem Akela Kadosh, after Kedusha, that Amen is important. Okay, see, it was a quick answer. Okay, back to the Gemara. It says, her lips were moving, v'kola lo yishameh, but her voice wasn't heard, mikan shasu lagbeh kolo b'tfilato. From here we learn, you're not supposed to raise your voice in prayer. When we pray, we recognize that God is right with us. We're talking to God as though He's right here. Not as though, He is right here. And that's why we don't pass in front of someone that's praying. God is right there in front of Him. How could you pass in front of Him? He's standing in prayer to God. And we also don't yell. You know, it's not like our voice has to reach up there. God is right here. Eli saw her lips moving. He thought she was drunk. From here we derive, if someone is so drunk he can't stand before a king, he can't pray. Eli said to her, Ad matai tishtakarin? So when will you get so drunk? Stop drinking. Rabbi Elazar taught, Mikan lo roe b'chavero devar sheino agun. From here, if someone sees his friend doing something that is improper, he has to point it out to him. So we've discussed this many times, that in our day and age, it doesn't work. Vatan Chana vatomer lo Adoni. Chana replied and said, no, my master. Amar Ula v'item Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina amrale. Ula said, and some say it was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, she said to him, lo Adon ata b'davar zeh. In this, you're not my master. You got it all wrong. Velo roch hakodesh ro alecha, nor do you have the Holy Spirit with you. You think I'm drunk? Shata choshedani b'davar hazeh. You suspect me on something that I've done nothing wrong. I'm not drunk. Ikadami hari amrale. Some say what she told him is, lo adonata leika shchinav roch hakodesh gabach. You're no master. You don't have God with you. How can you suspect me of doing something wrong? I've done nothing wrong. Shedantani lekaf chavav, lo dantani lekaf zchut. You could have judged me favorably, you could have judged me unfavorably, and you chose to judge me unfavorably. Milo yadati yishak shat ruach anochi. Don't you know how embittered I am? I'm married for years. The other wife already has 10 kids. I have no one. Every holiday that comes is my bitterest time. Of course I'm weeping and crying before God. V'yayin mishecha lo shatiti, I haven't drunk wine or beer or old wine. Amar Rabbi Elazar mikan lanechshad bedavar ve'in bo shetzich lodio. From here we learn, if someone suspects you of something and you've done nothing wrong, correct them. Sometimes people say, what do I care? So he doesn't know what he's talking about. Teaches us Chana, if someone thinks you've done something wrong, you've done nothing wrong, explain it to them. Tell them. Clear your name. Don't say, what do I care what he thinks? No, you should care. Al titene tamatcha lifnei bat Belial. She said, don't think I'm a horrible person. Lifnei bat Belial. Don't think of me as a woman who has Belial, no yoke of heaven. V'chtiv hatam, and over there when it describes people who went for idol worship, it describes them as yatzu anashim bnei Belial. People have gone out who have no yoke of heaven. Mala alan avdat kochavim. Over there it's describing people who went to serve idols. Avtan avdat kochavim. So to hear, she said, if you think I could stand before God drunk, you're considering me like someone who went to serve idols. And Vayan Eli Vayomer Lachid Shalom. Here we see Eli blessed her to go in peace. And from here we derive, and this is where we'll have to pick up next week because we're out of time, that if someone suspects something of something, if someone suspects someone of doing something wrong, and really they've done nothing wrong, they have to appease them and bless them, which is what Eli did. Let's run to Ma'ariv.